You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show.
Hello, Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another after show for The Newsroom. We are in Season 2, Episode 7, The Red Team 3. I am your host, Kelly, and with me tonight...
Hey guys, I'm Kristen Carroll.
Hello everyone, I'm Sarah Mendoza.
And this episode was as awesome as I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
We finally found out why they were being sued and what was going on with these lawyers, and I was pretty surprised.
And I'm glad that it actually, we just had one story the whole time.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
follow. They had kind of a small side one with the movie, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But other than that, that was really nice.
Yeah. We really got into Genoa in this episode.
And it also, at least for me, made me think about how closely you really have to look at something from all different sides, because there were a lot of things that were missed and a lot of things that we had talked about last week, questioning like the videotape and the recording and just really having to put that, you know, magnifying glass on top of everything, especially for a story this big.
Sure. Talk about pressure. You know, we that's why our characters are so frantic, because this is stuff that they actually have to assess and deal with every day to do their job right.
I know, it's nuts. But I can't believe that it's Jerry Dantana that is actually suing them for wrongful termination. Seriously?
If you didn't hate him already, like, enough already, like, this is just, like, the rotten cherry on top.
Yeah. It's terrible. He was the one that pushed so hard for it, really tried to kind of make everyone believe that this was true. He's the one that ultimately destroyed the, you know, altered the evidence, which made them have to retract it even more. They probably would have stood by it the entire time had he not done that.
Because they had the general's word, and he's probably the best witness out of all of them.
Right, but even if he would have said if, like he kept saying if, and that leads to reasonable doubt, they wouldn't have been so strong to kind of, you know, push for it. But they did have six supposed witnesses at that point. So, I mean, I understand why they ultimately went for it, but I mean, for him to lie, like, that hardcore.
Honestly, what, I just don't get it. Like, what is his problem that he's going to sacrifice journalistic ethics and his career just to get this on? Wouldn't he rather, yes, do due diligence along with everybody else than, you know, run with this?
It's like anybody who does something wrong, they have this huge ego and they don't think they're going to get caught. I mean, that's why bad people do what they do. I mean, they don't think they're going to get in trouble and they're above
it. Well, the thing about it is if you're really that good at something, you shouldn't have to lie or alter anything.
Exactly. Right.
Like, it should just all kind of come together in a way.
He's an idiot, honestly.
Well,
because if, I mean, it's going to be found out. There's more people than just ACN on this case. And eventually, the fact that he altered that is going to come out like it did.
Well, I get how there's a potential, like, real hardcore case behind him, because it was kind of the fault of everyone collectively. He played the biggest part in that, but he's the only one that got fired. But the argument can be made, the whole team wasn't in the room when he was editing evidence, so how was it everybody's fault? That's what he was potentially fired for, was that one act, not necessarily everything else. Like, they could say that that was the reason why, and nobody else was in the room and had the opportunity to have any say so over that. So why does everyone else get, you know, punished for a decision he made on his own?
His evidence, he destroyed evidence. Everybody else, like, it's coming out that theirs wasn't so great, but it wasn't a choice to change something.
They didn't tamper with anything.
No. Right. I think more so, they're firing him for that reason, because he tampered with evidence in order to get the story on the air. The reason for them leaving would be just out of, I guess, trying to maintain the integrity of the network, of their of their news show. And that's a decision that would be made by the network or by, you know, Charlie. And I don't think so. That would, that seems to me like a separate thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. they would have to assess, knowing that it's not, it's probably not true. Then they can assess, well, how do we make this right? And that would be one of the options. Mm-hmm. I don't think they would have gone there as quickly, though, had he, they had they not found out that he did that.
No, they were still sticking by the story.
And sued him, or and sued them.
Yeah.
And is now suing them, right?
Yeah. Well, and his argument, I believe, is that he was the only one fired. You know, Jim, Don, no one else was fired, and everyone knew all the same information, that which I believe is his argument. He's just not taking responsibility for what he actually did. And again, that goes with somebody's, like, big ego, mm-hmm. that he doesn't feel like that he has to.
Well, I think the whole time he never felt like he belonged there. And quite honestly, some of them made mm-hmm. him feel a little bit welcome, but they really didn't. And now with good reason. There was something off-putting mm-hmm. about him from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that he would do something like that doesn't show he's that great of a journalist or person right. they have in their little group.
Mm-hmm. Right. And honestly, this just wasn't the way, though, to change that.
No.
You know, he just dug himself in a way deeper. There's no coming back from that now.
Exactly. You can't walk into a place stomping your foot and crushing things and think that you're going to leave a good impression. No, it doesn't work that way. It's really unfortunate, the predicament that they've left everyone in. Mm-hmm. And you know, using Maggie's trauma as a reason why she's not fessing up. She heard it. She's just messed up. Like, that was horrible.
And again, as we lying. Saw, we mm-hmm. saw that she had the potential to hear it, but mm-hmm. she was also walking out of the room. I know when I'm out of a room, I'm potentially not focused on whatever is still going in there, mm-hmm. going on in there.
Besides, everything that was happening was off the record before the camera was rolling, so it doesn't really matter what he said.
Yeah. Right. He could keep saying, mm-hmm. oh, well, he said it before. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't count.
Well, one of the things I had an issue with in this episode tonight was when Mackenzie found out and confronted him, she did it in an elevator with just the two of them with no witnesses. And I think that that is going to come out and hurt them later because he only admitted doing it to her.
Mm, that's a good point. You know, she
Where's
probably...
Where's the recorder when they need it?
Right.
Not that it necessarily would work.
It's in the trash can. no, but I think she was just so taken by her emotions. Like, what the F? I cannot believe Jerry Dantana right now. And she just happens to run into him right there, so I think she just exploded.
Yeah, no, she absolutely did. It was definitely emotional, but I think it's going to come back to hurt them later because mm-hmm. he may turn around and say he never admitted anything, and it's only his word against hers.
Right, right.
It's true.
How about that, though, with the way that Mackenzie found out or discovered and realized that he had edited the footage and, mm-hmm. like, tampered with it? I wouldn't have thought of that, honestly. Like checking the clock in the back.
Yeah, just looking at the mm-hmm.
The stop
the
clock.
Back. Yeah, well, the background footage to make sure it was consistent. And we'd actually gotten a comment on YouTube with somebody that had suggested taking a look at that. And I think that they say that they had noticed it before.
It was the Woody Man one. And he put, if you watch the TV, you see that the basketball game was jumping around and in capital letters. That was a dead giveaway. There were like 10 people watching that video. And again, caps. Nobody saw that.
That's not what you're looking for. They're not looking for that. And it was, even when Don made reference to that basketball game, I wondered if he was going to notice something. Mm-hmm. And still, they didn't. They just blurred it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was another key thing, too, is blurring it out later on. So you can't even tell, although they did edit certain sections, so you may not have seen the clock anyways. But with mm-hmm. the raw footage, too, none of those people in the room, like I even look at the newsroom that I'm in, mm-hmm. the producers are in the editing bays, but they don't edit. So maybe that's not something they're looking at. They're listening to the guy, but they're maybe not looking at the extra detail, which they should be in something like this. I'm not saying it's wrong, but maybe that's not where their eye's going.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe, I mean, it could be that they just don't think that,
well, they trust the person that's doing it. They trust the producer. You can't micromanage everybody. At some mm-hmm. point, you have to trust the people that you're working with that they're not going to do that. So that's not your priority, is to go mm-hmm. over and double check with everything that they're doing.
Sure.
But maybe with a story like this where they're basically accusing the U.S. government of murder, they should have.
Well, I was a little, and I actually thought, I mentioned something in an earlier podcast that I thought Will would just go along with it because of Mackenzie and mm-hmm. Charlie. I thought that might be an idea with it. I am a little surprised at him that when we talk about trust, he trusted them, and I feel like he didn't look as far as he could have. Will, I think even though he sat there, you mm-hmm. know, even Don's like, and I recall he sat there for a really long time before he said anything.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say he necessarily believed it. He had heard the story before.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, I trust, you know, Mac and Charlie.
It is surprising. But who knows? Maybe when he did hear it from his source, maybe he did some digging.
But that was a good question from Rebecca. Was his source the same? And we never found out who his source was.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how are they going to find out? Because Charlie's not going to say who his source is, and Will's not going to say who his source is. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, now everybody knows. Well, at least the lawyers know who Charlie's source is. Because right. when we find all that up. But let's talk paper. About that in a second. But
I just want to say, with them not noticing the stop clock mm-hmm. in the game in the background, in my opinion, maybe it's just they're so concerned with proving or disproving whether or not Genoa in general happened.
Mm-hmm.
They're not thinking, let's prove or disprove it that Jerry Dantana
right.
did some funky business to make this so.
Mm-hmm. You but know? Even when Stamtanovich called and was adamant that the footage had been edited, even then they didn't go back and really scrutinize that footage and notice it.
McKenzie
until
said
days
she was gonna
later.
Look, she was going to look at it at one point. She did say after that. She's like, I'm going to go look at it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before the whole, I believe it was before the whole shot clock thing mm-hmm. that she actually learned about that. But she did go back. But then it's also McKenzie and sometimes.
But that's what I'm saying. They should have had someone actually go through it, you know, frame by frame and make sure.
Like they did with Sloan's pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, honestly.
And have somebody analyze it exactly yeah. the way that they did with the right. skin tone and the necklace and nothing was altered.
Right. Maybe they had the wrong person go back and look at the footage after that comment, because a producer will look at a footage different than an editor will.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You're not looking for the same things.
Nope. Yeah.
So there were definitely a lot of mistakes throughout the entire process of this story. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of them wanted it to be one way or the other because it was a huge story.
It's just they do such a great job of relaying how much pressure it is to be in this kind of career.
Yeah.
Because we're human. Mm-hmm. You know, these EPs and producers and reporters, they're human too, and they're trying their darndest, but
mistakes happen.
You never know. Yeah.
But that's why there's so many of them, because they rely, you know, if you don't catch it, then the other person should.
Right.
Or you're hoping that the other person will.
Right.
And that's why I think a lot of these teams are so big, because mm-hmm. everyone is human, and you only have, you know, when you look at a piece of paper, you know what's supposed to be there. And there could mm-hmm. be about 5 spelling mistakes you don't catch because you know what it's supposed to say
mm-hmm.
or words missing,
right,
and you
right.
read it the way it's supposed to be read. That's why you have an editor right. that comes in and looks at it, and you proofread, and you mm-hmm. go through that. Because sometimes you know what's supposed to be there, so your mind's going to see that.
Right.
And that's why this team was so big. And that's why they went through 3 stages of
right.
the red team. And no,
I loved
still.
That. I loved how they had, like, it was like 3 rushes of red teams
yeah.
coming in to check this, because it kind of paralleled the whole military, like, rushing in mm-hmm. for the general operation. And then here they are rushing in to, like, fact check and make
that.
Sure.
I think
yeah.
the one problem is that they're almost too close to each other now. Because they are a family, and I think on the one hand, that does help, and you stick by each other. On the other hand, I don't think as many questions were raised because, as we saw, you know, Will did it because Mac and Charlie did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden, Jim said his piece, but then he kept quiet for the rest of it because he trusted Mac. And
mm-hmm.
I actually liked there was a moment that Sloan stood up for Jim. And I marked it because you don't see those two interact very often.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of liked... I forgot exactly what happened with it, but I did mark it down. But when she stood up for him, he kind of looked over a little surprised. They
mm-hmm.
did a quick shot of him, a reaction shot. And I liked that. And you even see, even though they don't work together, they still consider each other family
mm-hmm.
that way. And it was all just kind of, they all fell in line because they trusted one another. And on the one hand, that's great. You should all be united. You should have a united front when you're doing something so big.
Right.
On the other hand, I think a lot of people still had some questions, and
I think it's a good thing that they're like family in that kind of a.
I think mostly it is, but I think it kind of hurt them this time.
Because you do need that outside perspective to come in and clearly look at it with a fresh mind and put feelings aside and look at the facts as facts. What facts are really there and what is speculation and what is hearsay from you? Like, what is actually, like, let's lay it out and have, you know, an unbiased party come in.
Or tell Leona. Because Leona, although she's part of the family and she stands by him, she's almost slightly like a distant relative.
Yeah. But she, in her position, she's not involved that way. So if they needed somebody like that, then it would have been Reese to come in and look at it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but I still think they tried their darndest, though, because they did do all the red teams, you know.
But they had lawyers and things from the network. They had network executives in there listening to when Will was in there, too. So they did have these other people.
30 lawyers.
It just seems.
They're probably just yes. Men. Oh, whatever. It's
good.
It's good.
But I mean, from the outside, it looked like they had six witnesses that looked to be in line. But my big question is, I'm confused about this Valenzuela kid, because I thought that he was the wrong one. I thought that the right one actually did die.
No, I think it's the other way around.
Okay.
Yeah. So they started calling Valenzuela's residence, but then upon seeing that,
but this was the one that they were calling,
right? But they weren't. He wasn't answering. Then they found out a Lieutenant Valenzuela, who they thought was the same one, died in action. So they're like, okay, that's sad.
Okay, so I just have it backwards. Okay.
Yeah. So then they thought he died because it was somebody else,
right?
But all of a sudden, the guy they had been calling called him back because he's another Valenzuela who's the actual one.
Okay. Yeah.
And he was close to Eric Sweeney, and he looked very, very meek in the video. Poor guy. I felt bad for him.
That was a little tiny fly, I realized, because wouldn't they just ask Sweeney? Wouldn't they talk to Sweeney about Valenzuela dying or not? Or if he was still out?
But they were already trying to reach him, and they had already done all the Sweeney interviews and stuff before they had heard that Valenzuela died. Because remember, I remember Charlie saying that to Rebecca.
Sure. But I would just think that upon not having been able to reach Valenzuela because he never called back, and before they knew he died, why didn't they ask Sweeney, you know, how do we get home?
Well, they were trying to find out, like, through the Pentagon, I think, like, what his orders were and all of that, and they were just waiting for callbacks. Mm-hmm. But they were doing, like, so many other things. And they have to find out factually. They can't just take what he says.
Right.
So I think that's what they were doing, was going through that.
Well, and then maybe Valenzuela died in action obviously died in action after, you know, Jenna, what happened. And Sweeney may not have kept up with him because he's not in the armed forces anymore. Mm-hmm.
But so we saw throughout the episode how this story just kept unraveling and unraveling very quickly, even with Sweeney being on Elliot's show. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we have this new information that he has a brain injury and that he lied about that. And it makes me wonder, did he really lie about it, or did Jerry ask him to?
I don't think Jerry was that manipulative with it. I think he thought something was going on, and Will actually kind of clarified it later. And I think just kind of based off of what he was approached with and the confusion that's going on while it's happening. I mean, he had to.
I don't know. I just wonder if somebody is going to be in it deep enough to seriously edit footage and lie about it. What if he did know before Mackenzie talked to him? What if he did know that these two purple hearts were for those things and just said, "Hey, say it's for something else"?
That's definitely it's a possibility.
Unless they talked to him they talked to him together, and Jerry never talked to him first. But I thought he had vetted him first before Mackenzie talked to him.
Sure. The other thing I could also think of is Cyrus West sent him. Gave the name Eric Sweeney to Jerry. And Jim even says, this guy is somebody that, you know, wants success in government, Dancing with the Stars, you know, nobody knows. And I still don't wonder what hand he had in maybe.
Well, I'm surprised he hasn't come back in. Yeah, and nobody's questioned him. Like, how did he get the tip in the first place?
Yeah, I don't understand why they didn't do anything with that either. Right. Yeah. You'd think that would be the first thing you would do. Especially when Jerry says who the source is, and they all know him, and they can get a hold of him.
Well, he's the one that gave him the tip, that he had heard something. So it's not really a source of anything other than just that. So maybe that's why they don't feel it's relevant to bring him in yet, or maybe we'll see him later. I don't know.
There's just still a few more things, or a lot more things that we need to figure out or need to unfold, because if this is... I guess we can talk about what happened with Charlie and Shep. If Shep is just doing this really out of revenge.
Well, that was, I think, one of the, like, the biggest betrayal of the night, aside from Jerry, was that. This longtime source that he's had, this relationship that he's had with Shep, to the point where he had his kid interning at ACN, and we find out that it was a big lie just to help see them fall.
Yeah, because he considers Charlie the cause of his son's death.
Yeah.
So this is his way of revenge. And so if this is, so this is my thinking, and this is why I want to see what unfolds. Like, if this is Shep's way of getting back at Charlie via this whole false story, how did the stars align so that Cyrus West would have a tip that would just, you know, perfectly align?
Well,
because
he didn't, because remember what he says, is that he at one point wanted to kill Charlie, hated him so much for what had happened to his son. But he decided that the best way to get him was to take away something he loved, which was ACN. So he waited. And all of a sudden, Jerry started making all those phone calls about Genoa.
Okay.
And he felt like this was his moment.
Gotcha.
And that's how it happened.
So really, the opportunity came to Shep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he said, this is the perfect way to get back. Okay.
Which, quite honestly, incredibly genius.
Absolutely. Because remember,
it's crazy.
He didn't tell him really anything. Remember, he gave him, like, the, what do you call it?
The manifest.
The hello?
That. But when he was talking, when they had met for, when he came to the office to see him and they're talking about it, he gave him a hypothetical story that was pretty much the same, but he never told him anything. He never flat out said, this is what I'm telling you. He just gave him
the
paper.
Munitions report. Okay, got it.
But he didn't say that's what he was giving him. So he kept himself clean by this hypothetical story that he did. So all in all, it was definitely genius.
Well, and I also wonder if that story, now kind of, you know, 2020 vision, if he wasn't talking about, obviously, Genoa at all, or if he was also kind of inching towards the fact that wouldn't you do anything to protect your, you know, son?
Yeah.
And that's what he's sort of doing in his mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So his story may sound like he's talking about Genoa, but he's like, I would do anything, you know, for my son or your family. Wouldn't you do, like, horrible things?
And
that's basically what
he's
doing.
I was just going to say, though, that piece of paper with the F.U. Charlie hidden message light thing going on, that's evidence, though, that's going to help the ACN team even more so, that they weren't responsible. Well, I mean, they're responsible, but you can see why ACN chose to run
with
the story.
Right. Absolutely.
Because they thought this was real.
Yeah.
And it was coming from, you know, the naval intelligence press.
Well, and I think that's why he did it. He knew that once he egged him on and gave him the green light, that Charlie would totally believe him, trust him, and go with it. And that's exactly what happened. But then that's why I'm so curious to know who is Will's source.
And too, but you'd have to start torturing Mackenzie in order to get that from him.
Yes.
Which, she said, like, that's sweet. And I thought that was a very sweet comment. That's incredibly telling.
One would hope that if Mackenzie was being tortured, somebody would...
Hopefully it would happen before she actually started to be tortured, but maybe she just had to be kidnapped.
I just think it's interesting.
Her finger's gone already. Yeah. Like,
that he even said that in the first place.
Yeah.
He could have just said nothing.
Yeah. And no, he still cares about her.
Well, and Nina's gone, hopefully.
Well,
we didn't
as far
see
as
her
we
all.
Know,
not,
we know.
Yeah,
just
he was
in
home
this
alone.
Episode. I'm hoping. I mean, maybe she's in the shower again. But
I don't know. It was all pretty much in the newsroom or the boardroom this time. So I don't know. But
yeah, man.
It's just a lot of...
This was a good episode, guys.
A lot of crazy things going on. But we definitely love to hear what you guys think. We love the comments. And please go to YouTube, download the podcast, rate and comment on iTunes, I'm sorry. And you can go to YouTube and leave comments as well. And I think you've got some comments.
Yeah, and just
other ones you want to read out.
Shout-outs for YouTube. We had Patrice. We had Reglavcore. I'm probably saying that wrong. Who actually reminded us that Allison Pill accidentally posted a naked picture of herself on Twitter to her boyfriend, and that kind of she didn't just send it to him.
I remember that. Yeah.
The glasses on and everything. Yeah. We covered that at work. But I think that one always kind of reminded me more of Mackenzie's mistake of sending the email to everybody.
The breakup email.
Yeah. And then we also had NASCAR craze. Made a good point. I think since Hamish Linklater, who plays Jerry, got signed on to the crazy ones on CBS, they had to maybe switch the storyline a little bit so that it's for sure that Jerry's the one that's going to be fired because mm-hmm. he's got a different gig now that he signed on to.
Maybe, but I think it was always set up from the beginning that he was going to be the one mm-hmm. because he was just kind of the outsider anyway. I didn't see him staying on for too long.
And they possibly filmed differently mm-hmm. at different times too because it's such a short series. I really want to see the crazy ones. I love
some critics and hate watchers out there. I was reading some articles online. They think that was the easy way to get, you know, to create a villain is somebody coming from the outside because they're saying, wouldn't it have been more interesting if it was somebody from the inside who did this? But it's still interesting. It's mm-hmm. still an interesting. It's not. We're not bored with it.
Even though
it might be slightly.
But we did have somebody from the inside. We had Reese who was tapping their phones and trying to get Will fired. We have had somebody from the inside, but not the core team. So I get that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and one quick last shout out to Oakland Jess who gave us 5 stars. So thank you.
Fabulous. Yeah. So keep it coming and let us know what you think about this whole Genoa story. And $5 million. Really, Jerry? $5 million settlement.
Oh my God.
On one hand, I feel like that's not that much. I don't know. I mean, it's a lot for me personally.
But for one person that actually was the cause of most of this, really? Yeah. She doesn't deserve anything.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with Stone Leona there.
I loved Leona coming in. That was the best. She's fantastic.
What if Jerry's that intelligent, though, that he just devised this whole thing knowing that he's pushing so hard, and then he's going to get fired, and then he's going to sue, and this is a whole thing to get $5 million?
I don't think this is like the producers, that they're trying to make all this money and maybe go to jail for
it. I think the reason is because if he's called out as a liar that manipulates evidence, no newsroom is going to hire him because he's untrustworthy. Mm-hmm. He's never going to be able to get another job. I think that is the motivation behind it. He needs to live. He's got to do something. And all of this burden is laying with him. Mm-hmm. Nobody else is getting punished for this aside from him. So he looks ultimately like the only one in the wrong. Mm-hmm. And his career's done. It's over.
Yeah.
So he's got to do something. This is the easy way out. No big, you know, in his mind, I'm sure he's thinking they're not going to want to deal with the lawsuit and the money that's going to be spent. Just easy, mm-hmm. settle out. It's over. It's done.
Well, and what does he have to lose? I mean,
everything's gone already.
Yeah. He's already lost his job, his reputation, his pride.
Everything's done. It's all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all gone already. So they're all ready to resign, the top. Charlie, Will, Mackenzie, mm-hmm. ready to, you know, give it up, throw in the towel because they're...
For the sake of the network.
Yeah, because their trust ratings are gone, pretty much. They're really, really low, and they don't feel like, they lost the trust of the audience. And they have Leona that comes in.
Looking fabulous, by the way.
Amazing.
If I look like that at her age, I'm going to be so excited with myself.
And let me just tell you, it's not just on TV. I had the pleasure of running into her at this Emmy event, like, last week, and she looks amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing in person.
She's so fit.
No, she looks great. And she doesn't look, she doesn't look, like, scary great. Like, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. the people look like they have a lot of work done. No, she looks fabulous. Fabulous. But I loved her character coming in and raving about Daniel Craig, and she wanted to meet Daniel Craig.
And it looked like Daniel Craig. Stand up. Oh, not so much. Sit back down.
Mic-mac. Nobody's resigning.
Yeah. And I love, it's different to see her on their team because mm-hmm. she's the whole time she's trying to find a way to derail their little news night show.
Well, she needs to make money, and they don't make any money. And mm-hmm. I like what she said that you don't make me a nickel, but. You make me proud. And I thought that was a really nice thing that we got to hear her say.
She should smoke weed more often coming into these meetings with them.
She was definitely on something.
whatever, yeah, whatever she was on.
Was that cookie that Neil's ex-girlfriend has
maybe.
She could just be high on love of Daniel Craig right now.
Maybe. She must have.
She was disappointed, though, because she wasn't able to see
A little too many cocktails waiting for him to arrive.
I'd be, too, if I spent $1,000 to meet Daniel Craig and doesn't show up. I'd be a little PO'd.
Yeah.
I know, she was great, and... But she even said from the beginning, the only problem I think she had with her them doing the newscast that way was only because they were, you know, slamming people that she needed.
The advertisers.
Yeah.
Yeah. People that, you know, give them a lot of money.
I don't think she necessarily cares about, I mean, you never saw that she hated what they were doing with the news. I think she even said she liked it.
No, yeah. But that was, it still messes with her business.
Yeah.
I think it's also slightly, a part of it is her ego, because she was like, oh, he does, how dare he come into my hizzy? My hizzy? I was like, did she just say hizzy?
Came into her house demanding money.
Yes.
One so guy.
I think, you know, it's her ego. Somebody came in and, like, is trying to, you know, throw everything away. And she's coming to the rescue now, because she's like, oh, hell no.
Well, she's not going to give in. And I like that about her. And I think she also is not blaming them. Doesn't she say something to the effect of, I don't even think Sherlock Holmes could have kind of cut through this. And, she said, I'm the smartest person in this room, and I don't know how I could have. So she's not necessarily blaming it all on Mackenzie. Because if you go down the line, even though, yes, there were holes and everything, for the most part,
It looks good.
Yeah.
Looked like a true story. Mm-hmm. You know, well, not now that we dissect it, but
I like how she gave her Mac and Nick McMack.
Yeah, McMac. Yeah. But she's not accepting anybody's resignation. She's not going to give in. She's not going to settle. She's going to court. Rebecca walks in. Looks like we're going to trial. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. I wonder if McKinsey...
What's the last thing that they said? Charlie says, Leona, we don't have the trust of the public. And she says,
get it back.
We'll get it back.
Yep.
And the episode ends.
Yep. Get it back. Figure it out. Right. Make it happen. Because you're not going anywhere until I fire you.
I don't know for 2 weeks.
Love that.
Yes. No episode for 2 weeks.
Oh.
It's horrible. But it is a holiday next weekend. So at least that's nice. I don't know. But I'm curious to see if Mackenzie's going to be able to handle it. I know she feels really guilty. She thinks that she played a bigger part in this than I believe that she did.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm still curious, too. We haven't seen what leads Maggie to change her hair yet.
I know. We have to see that before the season's
over.
So I feel
like there's still a breaking moment, maybe in the courtroom.
Right. Maybe.
Because, like, people can get lawyers can get really intense and, you know, bring out some other stuff.
When they start grilling her on the stand, maybe. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. I don't know.
But, yeah, because we saw that she still had blonde hair while they were going through it before.
Mm-hmm. Well, hold on a second. Because doesn't she come... She comes in the room a few times while Rebecca and the other lawyers are asking questions.
But that's after.
That's after. I'm talking about when they're still trying... When they aired the story, she still had blonde hair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But...
So that's why I'm saying we don't know when her hair color changed, because when they're flashing back, she's still blonde.
Oh, you're right. It couldn't be in the courtroom because they haven't gone there yet and she's got the red hair. So there still has to be...
Because before the proceedings, giving the interviews, are doing the interviews, and she's coming in and out with her short hair.
No, you're right. Yes, they haven't gone to court yet, so no, it couldn't be there. So I wonder when... Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's going
to
happen?
There's still some time that we have to go through, and they've got to go through the Benghazi story too.
So it breaks my heart every time I see her like that, though.
I know. Well, and that's, you know, that was a casualty of this whole thing, the Benghazi story. They didn't run with it the way that they could have because they were afraid of that. They've got the polls coming up that they have to announce, and they can't get anything wrong. Everybody's got to really
trust anybody anymore.
No, and I mean, it could just be a lot of pressure for everyone, and I don't know.
Well, I think it's like most people. I mean, not just in the workplace. I mean, if you have a bad relationship, you know, it takes you a little while to get over that. And they had a bad relationship with Jerry, and now it's taking its toll on other stories, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember that story quite well. I used to watch at that point, I was able to watch the news in the morning most days. And it was a huge story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the fact that they don't cover it, that says a lot.
Yeah, it says a lot about what's going on in their newsroom.
Well, I think it also says a lot, too. I don't believe we've ever seen Mackenzie cry.
No.
I mean, we've seen her get emotional.
Right.
But the fact that she's standing in front of everybody in Will's office mm-hmm. and her eyes are red and she's, you know, got yeah. tears going down.
Yeah. Because I think deep down in her gut, she knew it was wrong. I don't think she would have asked Don that question, do you trust him? Mm-hmm. If she didn't think that something was wrong.
Right.
I think she should have listened to Jim. I think she should have even listened to Don. They had really legitimate questions and red flags they were raising, and they brushed him off.
Your gut is usually correct. And
yeah.
They didn't get yeah. it.
But I'm still glad they, you know, did the research, tried yeah. at least, and then through that, though, they ran into a bunch of false evidence.
Well, now all we can do is wait and see how they come yes. out of it and what happens next.
They will come out of it.
They have to. They we have need to, a season yeah. three. They have to. Do you have some news and gossip?
AfterBuzz TV News.
I guess just some gossip.
Okay.
Not really, but, so, all right. So I am team... Who is team Jim Maggie still? Because I am. Nobody? Is it just me?
I still eventually want her to get better, can I say? And it ends up... I like Jim so much. Although I like Hallie so much, too.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see Hallie come back and stick
yeah.
around.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of this debate going on out there in the webosphere with uh-huh. fans and, you know, critics. They're just wondering what's going to happen with that. Mm-hmm. And on The Daily Beast, they did an interview with John Gallagher, who, as you know, plays Jim. Mm-hmm. And let's hear what he thinks. So he said, maybe I'm an idealist, but there's a big part of me that thinks that they're just going to have to get over themselves and at one point just make it happen again. They are just going to be hopeless without each other. I think they're soulmates. Oh. So I don't know if that's an indicator, but that's what Jim thinks about his character, or John thinks about his character, Jim, with Maggie.
Okay.
I think you could see that. There's yeah. such a chemistry there, mm-hmm. and there still is, and he cares for her dearly, but there's so much going on.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll
Nobody
see. I don't think
right
they now. Have time right now. I think yeah. it's kind of they would keep it on pause, come back later, and then I think I could see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they both need to kind of go through a little bit more and kind of get it together a little
Usually
bit more.
Usually season three, I feel like, in yeah. most shows, that's when the big couples start to get together.
To
unless
get together.
It's a really big couple, like yeah. Will and Mackenzie, I think it'll take a lot longer.
And I wish I brought yeah. my sheet in with me, but I think there is going to be a season three.
Well, they've been talking about it, but it hasn't officially been announced yet. I think it has some to do with some scheduling and stuff with Aaron Sorkin and things mm-hmm. like that. But HBO really wants it, so we'll see yeah. if it actually happens.
We really want
so
it.
So we need the official word yet. And we haven't gotten that quite yet, but hopefully we'll get that soon. All right, well, let's get into predictions.
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
Well, I predict Jerry Dantana's the only one that's leaving Newsnight. That's gonna
well,
be...
Well, he wasn't supposed to stay anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think this will be a show that'll suddenly, you know, this isn't Game of Thrones or True Blood. Like, I don't think all of a sudden a May character's gonna go away. I don't think that's gonna happen. I think Mac might start to have some problems.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's gonna feel extra guilty, and I think we'll see that run with it. Well, I wanted to say my Sorkinism. Can I say that?
Oh, yeah.
I loved Neil's. It was like one of the few comic relief moments in this episode. The women here couldn't deal with my Ultraman mode.
Yeah.
Yes.
When he was in with the lawyers.
Yeah. Yeah. And how he said being manned up is his default position.
Yeah.
Default. Yeah. He's so cute.
But that's my prediction. And I want to see, I also think, well, obviously something else is going to happen with Maggie where she's going to cut her hair. And I think she's going to be riled on the witness stand, her and Mackenzie. I don't think they'll take well to the courtroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we do see from the previews for next episode that Mackenzie really is frazzled to the point where she wants to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
She's asking pretty much Will to fire her because he's the only one who can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a prediction as to exactly why, but I'm really curious for next yeah. episode as to what's going on there.
Do you think she just wants leaves? Out.
Nothing's stopping her, really.
Well, I don't know. Well, I think I don't think Leona would let her leave. I think she'd come in with like a breach of contract or something and force her to have to stay. But I'm hoping that Will kind of steps in a little bit more emotionally and helps kind of save the day there with her and helps her kind of get through this And maybe that kind of breaks through a little bit for their relationship.
Yeah.
True love's kiss. I'm just kidding.
Totally. But I do. I hope that, you know, he kind of gets a little bit more open with her and kind of comes to her rescue on a more personal level and kind of helps her get through this. It would be nice to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. But I'm sad that there's no episode next week. But
I know.
2 weeks. We'll see you guys back in 2 weeks. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. As always, you can follow us at AfterBuzz TV on Twitter. And make sure to download the podcast on iTunes. Rate and comment. We love to hear what you guys think. And you can follow me at Kelly with an IE 079.
You can follow me, Kristen Carroll 13, on Twitter. And you can follow me at Sarah with an H Mendoza.
And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.